Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Verse 1. Lord has laid on my heart to preach on the subject of prayer. I plan on preaching on it this morning and in this evening service as well. In verse 1 of chapter 11 of the book of Luke, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Great model prayer there, isn't it? I've been thinking about the subject of prayer. I was thinking as I was meditating on this sermon, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Bruce Almighty, but In that movie, Bruce Almighty, I seen it on TV some time ago. At least some of it I did. And in that movie, he takes on the role of God. You know, he's kind of angry at God because God doesn't seem to be answering his prayer, and he's kind of frustrated, and he kind of gets a little bit belligerent with God. And so God says, "All right, you think you can do better? I'm gonna give you your opportunity." Of course, obviously, this is a movie we're talking about here. But something that I thought about, in this movie, he wakes up, or he's in a restaurant or something, and he hears all of these voices. I mean, just like thousands of voices, and he thinks he's going crazy, and he's hearing these voices. And well, come to find out, he realizes that this is people praying, and there's just thousands and thousands of requests being made, and he can't even decipher them because he's like, oh, you know. So somehow he gets it on the computer, and he gets them in computer format, and he just says yes to every prayer request that was asked. And, you know, of course, because of that, everybody in the city of New York won the lottery, and I think, you know, it was like a dollar for everybody and all that. So anyway, my point is this on that. Aren't you glad that God can hear all of our prayers at one time and still decipher them and keep them all straight? You know, my wife was raised Catholic, and one of the things that sort of put her off about Baptist the first time she went, I remember the first time she went to church, I didn't go. She went with my mom and dad, and I offered to do the laundry if she would go to church with them because I was desperate. And I said, I'll do the laundry if you go to church with my mom and dad, because they kept bugging us, you know. They were like, you want to come to church? You want to come to church? So I was like trying to come up with something that would keep them quiet for a week or two. So she went to church with them, and she got home much earlier than she should have. And she went to United Free Will Baptist Church, her first experience with a Baptist church. And you know what she said to me? I said, what happened? She goes, they all started praying loud at one time. That was what kind of threw her off, you know. But isn't it good that God can hear all of our prayer requests and keep them all straight? Not only can he do that, but think about this. Can you imagine that, you know, there's a little boy who wants to play his little league baseball game, and he's praying for no rain. Then you got a farmer over here who needs his crops, and it's a little dry, and he's praying for rain. I mean, God probably gets these types of requests all the time. One praying for this and one praying for that. I imagine at Super Bowl time, you know, this past one, the Seahawks and the Broncos, can you imagine both fans praying, God, help our Broncos to play well today? Well, let me tell you, he heard the Seahawks fans' prayer. He didn't hear the Broncos' prayer. Well, he didn't hear my prayers, I'll put it that way. But God can hear all of these prayers and magnify how, you know, our praying here on Sunday morning. magnify that by millions and all of these prayers going up to God at one time. And yet our God is so big. Listen now. Our God is so big that He can keep them all straight and hear them all individually, because every individual prayer that we pray, I'm glad, makes it to the ear of God. He hears them all, and He is wiser than our prayers are, and He knows exactly how to answer them. Isn't that good? And do you know that when you bring a prayer to God, that you are never cluing God in on what's going on in your life? You have never brought a request or a need or a situation to God that He went, "What? I didn't know you were going through it that bad. I didn't understand it was that bad for you." God already knows. Listen, you are never, apprising God of the situation in your life. God already knows about it. You're never briefing Him or informing God of what's going on in your life. Rather, or more likely, our prayers not informing Him are transforming us. That's what happens so often when we pray. I'm glad we have a big God that can keep all those prayers straight. Now, let me ask you this. Has God ever answered a prayer for you and surprised you? Has He ever done that? I'm telling you, I think sometimes we pray these prayers and think about it. There's probably somebody in your life you thought, man, that person will never get saved. And you probably said a few prayers for them, and all of a sudden they're walking the aisle and you're surprised. Wow, I didn't think they'd ever get saved. Or some other situation. Sometimes God answers a prayer that literally surprises us. Has He ever done that to you? Why would we be there? Listen to this. It's a true story. And I thought of this in relation to what Alice requested on Wednesday, or she was talking about that bar being built next to a church in her prayer request. In a small Kentucky church in this town, this church was located next to were concerned because they thought the bar was hurting their community. To make matters worse, the owner of the bar was an outspoken atheist who would taunt people from that church about their belief in God. The church decided, now listen to this, this is a true story, to hold a prayer meeting on Saturday night to ask God to intervene and settle the matter once and for all. The church met and they began to ring the prayer bells of heaven and asking God to move in this situation to close this bar down. Immediately after the prayer meeting, a thunderstorm brewed up and blew in, and lightning struck the bar and burned the bar to the ground. Next morning, on Sunday morning, the preacher preached on the power of prayer. Insurance adjusters began to show up. They began to look at the situation, and they notified the bar that they would not pay for damages, that this fire was an act of God. And that was an exclusion in their policy. The bar owner, furious, decided to sue the church, claiming they had conspired with God. Now remember, this guy's an atheist. Claiming they had conspired with God to destroy his building and his business. And the church denied that they had anything to do with it. Well, the judge on the case opened the trial with these words. "I find one thing in this case most perplexing," he said. "We have a situation where the plaintiff, an atheist, is professing his belief in the power of prayer, and the defendants, faithful church members, are denying that very same power." That's a true story. Has God ever surprised you with an answer to prayer? Let me share my story with you. Some of you have heard this, so bear with me if you've heard it. Some of you haven't, but I want to tell you how God surprised me one time when I was asking Him about my call to preach. I had been running from God for several months out of fear and out of uncertainty about Him actually calling me to preach the gospel. And I had felt this over and over and over again that God was leading me to preach the gospel. And so on a Saturday night, I was in my study and I got on my knees and I just felt like I had to do something. I couldn't run anymore. And I said, "Lord, if You're calling me to preach in the morning, have our pastor say something to me that I will clearly know that you are calling me to preach the gospel. That was my prayer. And, you know, brother, we had those side pews over on Dearborn. This is a long time ago. And Brother Lester got up after the special singing. He walked to the pulpit and he said these words. He said, you know, sitting there, he said, God has changed my message. I don't know what he was going to preach on, and that didn't matter. But he said, I want you to turn to Ezekiel 22:30. And that verse says, God sought a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and I found none. And his thought was, God is calling, but nobody will answer. Now you think of that. And I want to tell you, I don't know, I'm not sure if I was sitting with my wife or on the front row, but my mouth went. And it was, I mean, there was no more running. I mean, if I ran anymore, I was disobedient because it was clear now. And I don't know, maybe it was just a shock that he was actually calling me or the shock that he answered so clearly and so quickly to the prayer that I had just prayed about 10 o'clock on Saturday night. And about 13 hours later, God answered that prayer with a no doubter. You see, why is it sometimes that we are surprised when God answers prayer? Why should we be? And you know what? I think perhaps we're in good company, because I was thinking of Acts chapter 12 in the Word of God, how, you know, Peter is thrown in prison, James in prison, Herod has James killed. And it says this, and the church prayed for Peter, and they were praying specifically that God would deliver him from the hand of Herod. And they're praying that, and they got a prayer meeting going on. And it says that God showed up in the prison. The angel released him, let him right out, and said, go free. Listen, God answered their prayer. And so Peter goes to John Mark's mother's house, and he knocks on the door. This is in Acts chapter 12, verse 14. A lady named Rhoda comes to the door. She opens the door. You know what she does? She slams it. And it says she's like so excited. She runs back and she goes, Peter's out there. And you know what they said? You're crazy. You're beside yourself. Peter's not out there. They did not believe that God was going to answer that quickly the prayer that they prayed. Let me tell you something. God is a prayer answering God. God still moves when His people pray. And let me tell you, we've got the promise of Jeremiah 33 verses 1 through 3. He says this. He comes to Jeremiah in prison and he says this, I am the Lord, I am Creator, Jehovah is my name, call on me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. We've got the same promise from God today. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we ask or even think, hallelujah, God answers prayer. There's power. Do you believe that? Man, that sounds weak. I'm telling you. God answers prayer. And we've seen it happen. And listen, this is not something that, you know, is a passing fad or some new concept. You know what the Bible says in Genesis 4:26? It says, Seth, the godly line, had a son named Enos. And it says this, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. They knew all the way from the very beginning that to call on God was powerful. That it was going to, you know, God was going to move when men and women call on Him. But so often we neglect the very thing that we say we believe in. We neglect the very thing that we know is our lifeline for spiritual strength. We really do. It's like the lady, you know, some of you grew up in a holler in West Virginia or Kentucky or Tennessee, and you know about hollers. It's like the lady who lived back in a holler and she didn't have no electricity. Well, the electric company was coming through and hooking all the houses up, and they hooked their house up, and you know, there she had it, electricity, and every month there's like no bill, and so the electric company thinks there's gotta be something wrong down this holler here. They must not be getting electricity, so they come back. They say, ma'am, is there something wrong? There's no electricity being used here. She says, oh no, everything's fine. She says, those lights help me so much. Every night we turn them on until we get the candles lit. Then we turn them back off. Listen, she believed in electricity. She saw the trouble that they went through to hook her house up and to put the lights in, all the work she had done. She even believed the electric company's promise to light up her life. But what she failed to realize was the potential that she possessed being wired to the source of the power. There is power in prayer. But so often, people neglect prayer. There's power in it. Listen now. Prayer is not the last line of defense. Right? It's not our last option. You know? It's not like a parachute that you got on a plane and you're thinking, I sure hope the plane don't go down, because if it does, I'm going to need it. Listen, that's not what prayer is. It's not the last option. It is the first line of defense. That's what prayer is. Listen to me. Never say this. And folks, we do say it. And I know there's times when all we can do is pray. You ever heard that? Well, all we can do is pray. Hey, listen. There is times when all we can do is pray, but never, never couch that in the framework of, raising the white flag going, well, we've tried everything else. We've done everything in our own power. We've looked at all our options. I guess the only thing left to do is pray. As if that's the last and weakest source that we have. Never say that like it's raising the white flag. When all we can do is pray, that is a lot.
Amen.
Listen, if you depend on education, and if that's all you're dependent on, and education is important, but if you depend only on education, you'll get what education can do. If you depend on your own skill, you'll get only what your own skill can do. If you depend on only what organization can give you, that's all you'll get is what organization can do. If you depend on technology, listen, doctors are baffled all the time. You'll get only what technology can give you. But if you'll depend on the power of Jesus Christ and calling on His name, I'm going to tell you, you'll get what God can do. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, a child of God on their knees calling out to God scares the devil. That is a powerful position. Formidable position to be in, on our knees calling on God. That is a powerful, powerful position. Prayer is not the spare tire. Prayer is the steering wheel. Amen? That's what it is. We need to pray. So I want to ask you today. I want to ask you, and I want you to think about this. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? I was listening to what June presented, and I didn't get to hear my wife's devotion. I heard a little bit as she was reading parts of it to me, so I didn't know the gist of the whole devotion, but maybe this goes right along with some of the things she was saying. But, somebody said this, I read this, I like this, said, prayer should be the key that opens the door to our day and the bolt that closes it at night. Isn't that good? How's your prayer life? I'm going to give you four excuses or hindrances to praying, and then I'm going to build on this tonight in tonight's service. But I want to give you some what I believe are realistic excuses or hindrances to your prayer life. And the first one, and probably everybody here can relate to this. I believe everybody could. I'm just so busy, right? Time flies, doesn't it? I mean, and interestingly enough, the last 5 or 6 verses leading into Luke chapter 11, in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, that is the setting where Mary and Martha, Jesus is at their house, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to Him speak, and Martha is serving and working and hustling and bustling. And she's a little bit frustrated. She's like, Lord, I'm doing all the work here, and Mary's sitting there doing nothing. And Jesus said, well, she shows a greater spot right here listening to me teach. And listen, there's times for both, right? There's times for working. There's times to be busy. There's also times when we need to pray. Now, let me meddle for just a minute, okay? Stay with me. If you got time, now listen, this is profound. If you got time to watch your TV shows and you don't pray, there's something wrong. Hello? Amen? Oh, but I got to watch my DVR it so I don't have the commercial so it doesn't take me as long. But somehow I just can't find the time to pray. But let me tell you, if you're spending a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in front of a television set, and you do not pray, can I tell you today, there's something dreadfully wrong with your priorities. Right. Amen. And you know, you always hear folks talking about, you know, Bible reading and prayer, and I say it all the time, it's not rocket science. It is a necessity. It is our spiritual lifeline. And you know what? I wonder if we don't care what God says in His Word, I wonder sometimes if God's going to care much about what we have to say. I wonder. You know, that they go hand in hand. Listen to this now. This is also profound. If you've got time to eat, you got time to pray. Oh, preacher, you're crazy, man. I mean, I got to go to McDonald's as it is. Huh? I'm telling you. You know what? If at the very least, you know what? Multitasking. That's a buzzword today, right? Multitasking. Some of you have many children and you know what multitasking is. Well, can I tell you, sometimes it's okay to multitask in your prayer life? All right? Before you eat, take time to pray. And listen, do a little bit more than bless this food, O Lord, as it passes my gums. Pray a little bit more. Maybe you need to pray while you're in the shower. You ever done that? Woo! Holy ground. Maybe you need to pray while you're in your automobile and driving. You know, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. Some folks close their eyes anyway. But you don't have to close your eyes to pray. You can talk to the Lord with your eyes open. It's okay. The Bible does not specify that when you pray, He didn't say when you pray, close your eyes, bow your head. He didn't say that. It's okay to drive and pray. You can pray while you're working. You may have a job that would allow you to talk to God. Praying is simply talking to the God of heaven. Multitask if you have to. Talk to the Lord. Talk to Him. How is your prayer life? I know life gets hectic. I know that. I know we get busy, but sometimes multitasking is okay at times. Number two, and this is a good one, and I think everybody can relate to this as well. It takes effort to pray. You know that? It takes effort to pray. And we, and so many in our culture, you know what our a lot of the effort is after our work day is done or school day is done? A remote control. That's about as much effort as a lot of people want to get. I'm meddling again. Praying takes effort. Now, I'm not talking about lay me down to sleep prayers, okay? The disciples come to Jesus and they say, teach us to pray, not just say prayers. Teach us to pray, Lord. You know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That might be okay for our children, but it's not okay for us. My grandson says, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for this bread. That's okay for a child. But when you and I get older, we need to pray something different. You know, the prayer of serenity. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Not a bad prayer. But God wants our prayer life to extend past those pre-written prayers. He doesn't even intend for us to merely pray the Lord's Prayer. He wants more. Listen, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, let me remind you of something. The Bible says that He prayed until His sweat became great drops of blood. Man, He was praying. And let me just, you know, disclaim this for a minute. I'm not telling you that you can force God's hand because you just writhe and sweat and all that in prayer. I'm not telling you that. You know, the prophets of Baal, when them and Elijah went up on Mount Carmel, Elijah told them to go first. Said, you pray, whosoever God answers by fire, He's God. The Bible says they prayed all day. They worked themselves into a frenzy. They began to cut themselves. Are you with me? They began to cut themselves and bleed And there God doesn't work that way. But here's what I'm saying. God doesn't expect us to bleed, but here's what he does expect. Sometimes multitasking won't do the job. Sometimes he wants a little time on your knees. Amen? Sometimes he might want a little toil in your prayer life. That is a little sacrifice in time. Sometimes he may want you to deny your fleshy body because you want to deny this body to feed the one inside and just spend some time in prayer. God may want you to toil in intercession for somebody. Sometimes multitasking won't do it. And while God doesn't necessarily want blood and sweat from us in our prayer life, maybe he wants that which comes from our eyes in the form of tears. Because listen, tears are a language God understands. Remember in Isaiah chapter 38 when Hezekiah was told he was going to die? He wept. And he prayed, and God sent Isaiah back and said, you tell him I have heard his prayer. I have seen his tears. God is moved. God understands our tears. Don't rely on what you can do in the flesh. Praying, do you agree with that? Praying takes effort, right? Don't go to sleep on me, folks. Listen, this is important stuff. Praying takes effort. And there are times you got to turn the TV off, turn the radio off, tune the people out. Hey, let me tell you something, and I'll tell you this. Every time you get in prayer, the devil will try and distract you. Does he ever do that to you? Have you ever been praying and while you're praying? And I've got to tell you, sometimes it takes 2-3 minutes just to get your mind clear so you can really pray. Sometimes you'll be praying and something will come to your mind. You'll be like, what is that guy's name? And then you're off chasing. You know, you're off over here somewhere. You should be, whoa, get back. The phone rings. Somebody knocks on the door. You know, something happens when you're praying. Because I want to tell you, the devil doesn't like it when God's people pray. All right, so it takes effort. Number three. Now listen to this. Praying can be dangerous. And the Surgeon General's not telling you that. Praying can be dangerous. Let me just point out a couple things about the Lord's Prayer. You see, praying opens us up. Listen to this. When we say our in the Our Father, you see, we can't say our if we're only living for ourselves. When we call him Father, our Father, we can't say that if we're not acting like one of his children. Amen? When we say who art in heaven, we cannot say that if we are not laying any treasures whatsoever up. When we say, hallowed be thy name, we cannot say that if we are not seeking for the holiness that comes from God. When we say, thy kingdom come, if we're doing nothing to hasten him coming here. Listen, we are saying that hypocritically. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, and we're relying only on our own selves, we're being hypocritical. When we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who've sinned against us, and we're not forgiving them, we are definitely not praying pure in our motive. When we say, thy kingdom come, we need to live like a subject of his. When we say, the power and the glory is yours forever, if we say that, we need to seriously mean that from our heart. You see, praying is dangerous. Praying makes us transparent. You believe that? Yeah. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. David says this, search me, O God. Now listen to this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Man, is that not coming transparent before God? How long has it been? Now listen now. I'm almost done, but listen. How long has it been since you came to God and said, Lord, here I am. How am I doing? How am I doing? How long has it been since you just opened yourself up to the Lord and said, search me, God? Those are dangerous prayers, amen? Because when we're not where we ought to be, guess what happens? God makes us a little bit uncomfortable. God makes us a little bit fidgety because we're not doing what we ought to do. David opened himself up. Listen, God already knows where you're at, but what he wants to do is hear it from you. The last thing that hinders our prayers And this is a no-brainer. It's sin. You see, the Bible over and over and over again tells us that when we harbor sin, when we have sin in our life, and you know in the Lord's Prayer when he says, forgive us our debts as we, that as is a hinge. That's a hitch pin for that whole thing. Forgive us like we forgive others. If God forgave you like you forgave others, how would your forgiveness be? Ooh. Think about that for a minute. If God is as forgiving as you are, how would it be in your life? That's a hitch pin for that prayer. Sin separates us from God. When you harbor iniquity, bitterness, rebellion, you know, trying everything on your own way, when that's what you got in your heart, your prayers are going to be hindered. And I want to tell you, God hears all of our prayers, but God does not answer the prayer of a lost person other than, Lord, would you save me? Now, that might be hard to understand, but it's true. All right. Let me give you, I got a couple takeaways I want to give you in closing. Think about this in relation to prayer. You know, sometimes our kids come to us, other people come to us. Sometimes we feel pulled in every direction. And it's hard to give people the time they want. I remember my wife telling somebody about the ladies' retreat that one thing it does, it gives people time to have some one-on-one time and some fellowship. You know, so often we're pulled. You know what? Prayer is God inclining his ear to us, giving his gift of time to us, being a very present help in our time of need to us. When you need God most, when you need him to be close to you, he is. And he gives us the invitation to come. But I don't think God has to do that. I think God wants to do that. So prayer is a gift to us. Prayer is not a wish list like we make up at Christmas time to force God to surrender to your will. Prayer is our, now listen now, prayer is our submitting to the will of God. What did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Prayer does change things. See, God reserves the right to change his mind. You believe that? Isaiah 38, Hezekiah, I already referred to him, tells us this. Hezekiah was told by Isaiah, get your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to live. And God's warning you. And so Hezekiah gets upset. He's got a terminal illness. And so he turns his face to the wall, rips his clothes, weeps, prays. And God sends Isaiah back and said, tell him I've heard his prayer, seen his tears, and I'm going to give him 15 more years. God changed his mind. Does prayer change things? Yes, it does. But more often than not, prayer changes us. You see, prayer molds us to submit to the will of God. Listen to this now. Prayer is not the quality of our articulation. Do you believe that? I mean, God's not impressed when we can come to him and say all the right words and pronounce them very clearly. God's not impressed with that. What God is impressed with in our prayer life is the quantity of our communion. How much time are you spending with him? That's what God wants. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee's the religious guy. You know, he's got all the right sayings, all the right words, and the publican's over there, and the Pharisee's like, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. I tithe and I give of my offerings, and I do. And he's got his list, and he's probably pronouncing it and praying so nice. But the publican, just this old blue-collar, poor tax collector guy, wouldn't even look up, and he's smiting his breast in repentance, and he says, Lord, be merciful to me. Jesus said that's the prayer God answered. Amen. See, he's not impressed with our words or our religiosity or articulate. What he's impressed with is our humility and our quantity of communion with him. That's what impresses God. So let's get a song ready as I close with this thought. I wonder if maybe you should put yourself out there with a little bit of dangerous praying. Think about it. How long has it been since you said to the Lord, search me. Look at my life. Turn your spotlight on me. And you know, you ever been sitting in your living room and you know, light from the sun beats through the window You ever notice how you could walk through there with no light coming in and you won't see any dust or particles in the air? But you know what? When that light comes through on that beam, what do you see in that beam? You see all the impurities in the air. See all that stuff floating around. You see, that's what God sees in us. The light of the Holy Spirit illuminates all those impurities, those dust particles in our life. Sometimes we got to just lay ourselves out there and become transparent. Lord, search me. Look at my life. How am I doing? Am I doing okay? Let God reveal to you His will for your life. It comes through prayer. Don't let being busy be an excuse to you. Don't let the excuse of it just takes a little bit too much effort and time for me to be. Don't use that. You can multitask sometimes. Sometimes you got to get along with the Lord, but sometimes you can pray in situations and really talk to the Lord. Don't let fear of opening yourself up. God loves you. God wants to do something in your life today. And He'll do it when you talk to Him earnestly from right motives. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity and the power of prayer. We believe that prayer does change things, but we also know that prayer changes us. It transforms us to be more like You. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. I pray that this message landed and was able to permeate our hearts in the way that You would have it to in every individual life. You know our needs. You know our situation. You know our thoughts. You know our infirmities. You know all about us. Today, Lord, may we receive this, but Lord, more than that, may we apply it and act upon it. Speak to our hearts, Lord. If there's one here that doesn't know Christ, may they know You before we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen.